Father God, once again our heart rejoices as you accept our prayers. Let your presence be acknowledged, understood, accepted, and glorify your name alone. Hide all of us behind your cross. Help us to hear your voice. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Please take your seat. Once again, I thank God for the privilege what God has given to us to stand in His place to share God's word. Every moment, every time is a pleasure, and we always consider that is a privilege. Why I repeatedly say this? It is not with everybody in the world. We are different people. We are chosen people. As all of us, we know that God known us even before the foundations of the world. Amen? What a great privilege it is to be in His house. And we should express our love and the joy to our neighbor. Of course, it is a joy, time and again, even if I say repeatedly. But it should be seen through you. If you accept it, look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor, both left and right. So it is a great joy. Amen? So after a long time, I took this opportunity to share God's word, and I titled the message, the title is, How the Holy Spirit Prepares the Bride. And as I said in the beginning, and it's a special day, there are many reasons. And when I look at this slide, you might be surprised, it is not of my own. It is not of my own. So in that way, it is refers some of the gifted sisters helps me. I thank God for that sister as well. So please turn to your Bible to Romans chapter 7, verses from 1 to 6. So the portion is titled as, Dead to the Law, but Alive to God. Dead to the Law, but Alive to God. Let us go through the scriptures. Open your Bibles. Yes.
Romans 7, 1 to 6. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
You might be surprised, what is there for us? Look at the title, How the Holy Spirit Prepares the Bride. Then the last verse, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So as an introduction, just to brought to you, the John the Baptist came before Christ's first coming to prepare a people for the Lord. The Holy Spirit has come before Christ's second coming to prepare a bride for him. The last sermon of Christ was on the Holy Spirit. That's in John 16. So God the Father is longing for an eternal union with man. Christ, the bridegroom, is preparing a place for the union. The Holy Spirit is preparing the bride for the union. How the Spirit helps the bride to prepare. That is the message. Here you see that, as I said, God the Father longing the eternal union with man. Christ the bridegroom is preparing a place for the union. The Holy Spirit is preparing the bride for the union as well. So in this case, in the scripture, what we have seen, when we go through this, what we understand in the nutshell is, so released from one husband, that is the law, and married to another, that is Christ. We were under the law, and the law controlled us. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to release us and set us free from the law, and through Him we have accepted. And in that case, what we know, we were bound, we are released. From the fruit of death, and we move on to fruit to God. So from the oldness of the letter, and we are moving towards the newness of spirit from where we are now at the moment. So the 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 3 and also 14 to 17, if you go through it, we are not reading that. The tablets of stone, from tablets of stone, we are moved to tablet of flesh. Those days in the Old Testament, the commandments was given in the written on the stone. But now the word is written in our heart. Hello? In our hearts. So in the same way, veil on heart, but now veil is removed. So the contrast of Rebekah's veil, that is a different thing. Genesis 24:65 says, just you read it so that you will understand it. What is the contrast there? Genesis 24 verse 65.
Genesis 24 verse 65. For Isaac. For she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself.
You know what, one thing I this year, you may not be, just quickly grasp that, what the relationship between that. All these things I said, that the veil is removed, but here the veil is covered. The one of the thing is, the, you know the background about it. When Rebekah moved from her house towards Isaac's place, the servant brought her. When she looked at Isaac from far places, and she asked the servant, who is he? And he was meditating and just walking around. When she heard that, he is the master, that is the one whom you are looking for. Immediately, she got down from the camel. That is the respect. And immediately, she covered her veil. Even though it is contrast, there is a lesson for us to learn. But that is opposite of these things. So in that case, just for our thought, it is not related to here, but in other words, Zechariah 4:6, what it says, neither by might nor by power, but by my spirit, not by self-effort, It is all by the Spirit of God. How we become or we move from newness of Christ, it is by the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8, 2 and 3. The Spirit of Christ made me free. Therefore, beware of legalism. So, with that, when we move on, what the Paul laments here? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. The simplicity in Christ is that one husband. Pay attention to God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 to 4.
For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it.
What we understand, that is the heavy burden of Paul when he writes to the church of Corinth. And when we are talking about, we are free from the law and accepting Christ as our Savior. And here the highlights is verse 4. What did he say? If he who comes preaches another Jesus, you have already heard, you have already preached enough about him, you accepted, you believe, you are supposed to live in. Now the another Jesus whom we have not preached, you are accepting. He is among you. Or if you receive a different spirit, not the Holy Spirit which we spoke about or teach about you, the another spirit. And the same way, different gospel, not the gospel what we preach, and a different gospel is among you. That means you have not accepted, you may well put you with it. And that means you should remember what we have preached, whom we have presented, what you have received. But now there is different gospel, different Jesus, and spirit is among you. So as it was in Paul's time, it is very much here on this earth in our own time as well. If you believe, say amen to that. If you say amen, it is a one. You are accepting that this message wants us that we should be aware of the different. We studied in the castles. Those who are attended the castle, you should be very much aware of it. But now it is again, it's a reminder for us. We should be aware of different gospel and the different spirit, and we should be very much found and healed by the Holy Spirit of God. Galatians 2, 16 to 23. So here it says, false humility, intrusion into the unseen, self-imposed, religion, neglect of body, so on. And Galatians 3:3 reminds us, you began in spirit, ending in flesh. Let us read that. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, and you are now being made perfect by the flesh. When you look at it, but you, by yourselves you will be knowing, you are supposed to know. As long as you are always having a constant touch or filling of the Holy Spirit. If you live in spirit, it is possible to sense. That's why time and again always I used to mention it from here. since the Holy Spirit of God is in you. Whenever we worship, let us sense. I am always insisted that. So what the classic example is about the prodigal son, when he fall from his parents, by physically and spiritually from the parents' concern and love. And when he came to sense, he repented, stood up, confessed, and returned, and again he has a reunion with the father and had all the blessings. So in that case, it cannot be just take it very lightly, even though it is a well-known and the example. But the point is, sensing the Spirit, when you come to sense, you will be able to know. Otherwise, you will take everything granted as long as the life is going, moving, without any hurdles, without any difficulty. You think that you accepted as that and things are going, moving forward, smooth. No hurdles, no difficulties. But maybe in the worldly or in the flesh, but not in spirit. But it is better always to watch over. So here, stand fast in the liberty. That is Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So, this is what we should, the teachings, the lessons, the scriptures confirms that we are liberated, we are set free, and free from the law or free from sin and move or accepted to freedom in Christ. That is by the Holy Spirit of God. The scriptures what you have read confirms that we are liberated people. Hello? We are free from the law. We were free from sin. So no more turning back, always union with Christ through His Spirit. Amen? Secondly, the Holy Spirit guarantees that our liberty, that our freedom, that our the preparation to be with the bride, bridegroom. So what he says there, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 1, 20, 21 and 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21, 22. Yes.
Verse 22.
1 and 2. 21 and 22.
Verse now, 21. Now he who establishes with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee.
So there are several scriptures confirms that you are sealed, you are guaranteed. And when you remember the first portion of the scripture, how the wife, if she as long she is bound with the husband, she is abide by the law. When he died, and she is free to marry. So in that case, she was bound. She is not supposed to go for another husband. We were bound before. As we are released, and we are dead to our sins by the law, and Jesus has made it, we are free from there, and we are union with Christ. We are bound and accepted, and it is not only, it is by what? It is by our commitment, by act of confession, repentance and acceptance, baptism, that unites us, separates us from the old life to the new life. We are bound to this new law. That law is between we and Christ. And that is bound and it is sealed. That's what the scripture says. Who also has sealed us, who has sealed the Holy Spirit, sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The same way, 2 Corinthians 5:5. Again it says that, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. The Spirit as a guarantee. The Spirit whom we have in us is the guarantee. Amen? Right. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14.
In yes. Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory.
Yes. Again, this scriptures confirms us and as a guarantee of our inheritance. Now we have to look into what are the inheritance. What the inheritance is, we are belongs to Christ. Whatever is belongs to Him, that belongs to us as well. And until the redemption of the purchased possessions to the praise of His glory. So why we have to look into, there are a lot of scriptures. Why we have to look into to confirm that? We should be always confident about our salvation. At the same time, see that we live in the newness of Christ. That is a new life. We should not look behind the old thing. The 430 says, Ephesians 430, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. That is, grieving the Holy Spirit is a sin. And there is, scripture says that one of the unforgiven sin is grieving the Holy Spirit. How can we grieve the Holy Spirit? Sometimes by ignorance, sometimes deliberately, sometimes, but those who are live in spirit and the manifestation of the spirit, when the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is there, but sometimes some people we ignore and irrespect that. So in that way you can grieve the Holy Spirit without you knowing or with your poor knowledge and understanding of the Holy Spirit. So, what we know and understand from here is, it is not only hearing and hear about the Holy Spirit, and we should, the scriptures confirms that He is in us. Without Him, we will never be become a new creation. How many of you believe that? The Spirit of God is in us. The Spirit of God is always with us. And He is the one who leads us and guides us. That amen is very low. Because you are not sure about it. Am I right? No, it should not be. We should be always confident about whatever we do. It is There is, see, there is, we should understand, we should always aware of whether it is what you are doing, what you are speaking, what, everything, you have to see sure about what you speak, what you do. It is, the more important thing is, it is by you or by the Spirit leading. And the Spirit leading, it is those who are very closely live in the Spirit only can understand and sense that. Otherwise, whatever you yourself think, you means your flesh. You may think, taking granted, that is, it is by the Lord. Sometimes some people have a questions, whether it is from by me or it is from God. So that problem, so many people have that. So in that case, we should be possible, it is possible for us to differentiate what is the is it your own spirit or flesh or the Holy Spirit of God you are led with. So here, what does this mean? The assurance of being God's children. Romans 8:15 and 16, when you go on, the assurance of inheriting the riches of His glory. Verse 15, I'll read it. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba and Father. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God. Amen. Who bears witness? The Spirit who is in us. Recently, even in the class I was telling, and my own principle in my life that always I used to share, those who are studied, you must be knowing. In every situation, whatever the situation you are going through, you imagine whatever it is, whether in the past, in the future, or in the present. In every situation, whether you are spiritually on the top or whether you are spiritually fallen down, whether you're physically healthy, when you are physically weak, whatever it is, I mean it. Whatever the situation, always we should have a confidence that I am the child of God. I am the child of God. So you repeatedly have to say that. When you are weak, say that, confess that, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God. Say to yourself, not to somebody. Say to yourself, I'm a child of God. If you say that, you will feel the differences. You can. I'm a child of God, I'm a child of God. Repeatedly if you say that, you will be strengthened. It is not a joke, it is not a lie, it is the truth. If you believe that, first step. Secondly, if you believe that you are a child of God, you should also accept the other step. Whatever happens to me, it is known to my God. Without knowing Him, nothing will happen. Even accident, God knows it. We are not aware of it. It may be very difficult for you to understand it, to accept it. But I believe it, I believe like that. Even in that, I will thank God, looking at the situation, what has not happened. I will not ask God why it has happened. I will thank God what has not happened at that time. For an example, you've met with an accident. Your car is fully damaged, but you are still alive. Thank God for your life. God saved your life, God saved your soul, because you are precious. Car, you can change it. That much of understanding will come only those who are living in spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit. Even if it is death, how I console? God has allowed it. Without knowing, it has not happened. Even if it is my mother or my father, I accept it like that. God has given me the boldness, given me the courage, because I confess that I am His child. What has happened to me, whatever happened to me, known to my God. There is nothing happen, nothing will allow in my life. That's how. That is the second step. It is the principle of myself, and I never heard or found from any portion of the Bible. I can explain this, elaborate it, but because of the time, I have to move on. Thirdly, if it has happened with the knowledge of God, God expects us to glorify Him. God expects us to glorify Him alone. It is not sitting with the trouble and so on, investigating why it has happened, why, how can we save this one? If could have done that, it should have been happened. You should have heard that, it should not happen. Don't analyze the situation. Don't try to justify the situation. Accept it. If you are a really true child of God, if whatever has happened to me known to my God, God wants me to glorify Him. Is it difficult for you to understand? Accept it? Is it difficult for you? If I get hurt in my hand, I will say that it is good, it is only a hand, not in the face. Like that. So it is, I cannot. There is much, much to know, to understand, to live a life with a liberty. To live a life with a guarantee that the Spirit of God is in me. The Spirit of God within me always comfort, always console, always strengthens me, encourages me. If the Spirit of God is in you, definitely He will encourage you in all situations. You can name whatever it is. Okay, let's move on. And Matthew 3:16-17, Jesus was, that is all about His baptism. What was said when He rose from the water and He was baptized? The Spirit of God discerning. That was 16. Verse 17 says, "This is my beloved Son." Hello? "This is my beloved Son." Who's for? I mean, it's very feeble. I'm telling about the scripture. The scripture is about Jesus Christ when He was baptized, He rose from the water, and the word came from above, "This is my beloved Son." Who spoke it? God the Father. Testify. Is it not your case? Those who are baptized, have you assured, have you expected and believed that God is on that day when you baptize? Do you believe that there is a word from the heaven and the rejoicingly, the heavenly host, God say, God the Father say, "This is my beloved Son." Is it not exciting you? We should be excited. That is the confirmation. From there onwards, again, why this scripture I quoted? Again, as a reminder, we are His children. We are not of the world. We are not of the world. We are in the world. We are not for the world. Amen? When you say very low voice, amen, and I think that there is a doubt in you. You should not have doubt. When the scripture says about you, you should be thrilled and you should be encouraged and you should be boosted like, and your amen should be louder. God should, and that shows that you are acknowledging. When you are acknowledging, God will be glorified. Look at every moment in your life to glorify Him. Not to please people, not to please yourself, not to please your family, not to please, more than all. You can't do that. More than all, the center is glorifying our God. Amen? Okay, there are much things. Then I'll move on to and leave some of these things. So I move on to the next point about love. Third is the first one, liberty. The second one, guarantee. The third is love. Romans 5:5. The love of God, liberty poured out. Romans 5:5, what it says?
Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
The same be Ephesians 3:16-19. Can you read it?
Ephesians 3:16-19. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height.
You just imagine. You cannot measure it. What the scripture says, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Touch your chest and say that. Repeat it. The love of God has been poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to me. Time and again, you can do that. You can recite, you can refresh yourself and acknowledging the Spirit of God is in you all the time, so that it will help you to live a holy life, because we know that He is holy. Name itself holy. When you have a Holy Spirit of God, it is possible. And we know that the desire, not only the desire, the commandment of God is, be holy, for I am holy. So in that case, when we are sure about, we have a Holy Spirit of God in us, the same Spirit will help us to live a life that will please Him. Amen? And that Spirit was, love was, rooted in our hearts. The Holy Spirit keep revealing to us the great things about the bridegroom, and that makes us fall in love. John 16:14-15. Yes. John 16:15. He will glorify me, the Christ was saying. He will glorify me, for He will take off what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take off mine and declare it to you. What do we understand from here? Whatever He said, when Jesus Christ was on this earth and He was telling about the Holy Spirit, He said that, and everything is belongs to me, and whatever is belongs to my me with the Father, the Spirit will come, He take from my Father and He will give it to you. That is the inheritance. What are the inheritance? How we measure that inheritance? It is not on this earth, from the earth, in heaven. Heavenly inheritance. The Spirit of God will take from the Father and give it to you. And you will be blessed. That is the privilege, that is the position, that is the expression of the love of God. The love of the Holy Spirit. When you love the Holy Spirit, you can sense how the Holy Spirit loves you. Hello? When you love the Holy Spirit only, you will know how He loves you. Amen? Okay, let's move on. And John, and 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, He will say how great Jesus is. The Holy Spirit will say. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Abigail?
Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
See? No one can speak. The Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. How many times in our life we say that He is Lord, He is Lord, yes. He confirms that it is by the Holy Spirit in you. Don't be discouraged. Don't be offended. But take it lightly. You are accepted whether you sense it or not. The Holy Spirit in you. Hello? The Holy Spirit of God is in you. In all of us. If He is not, you will not call Jesus as Lord. That is the scripture. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12. He will reveal to us the glory of the things of the bridegroom prepares for us, the lovers. Compare John 14, 2 and 3. John 14, 1 to 3. Let's read it. What Jesus said.
John 14, verse 1 to 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that you may be also.
Amen? So what we understand from here is, as we started this worship, I was telling that what we see, what we hear, all confirms that we are in the last days, and it reminds us that the Lord is going to come. And that's what we believe in. When all these things, even though if you believe that, I do not know how many of you believe or want. If you believe that, yes, the Lord is coming. And is coming soon. Ultimately, what should be our response? We should always check that. Are we ready to meet Him? Lord coming is soon is true. And the promises are fulfilling. Are we ready to meet Him? That should be our questions. That should be our thoughts. That should, based on that, we should compare ourselves and examine ourselves. Are we ready to meet Him? Because we know, time and again we say that our life on this earth is uncertain. Hello? You believe that? This life, what we have, is uncertain. And we do not know what will happen tomorrow. We do not know what will happen after we leave outside the church. But even though, why we should remember, even though the uncertainty is in this world, there is nothing is certain, it is purely God's grace we are here. It is God who gives us the life. The God who lives in us. We are not supposed to live as the world lives, but we are living not for ourselves, for God. How many of you will say amen to that?
Amen.
We are belongs to Him. As we claim that He is belongs to us, we are belongs to Him first. Amen? And whatever belongs to Him is belongs to us. Whatever belongs to Him is belongs to us as well.
Amen.
Amen. See, one example is given here about the Old Testament and Genesis 24, 23 and 22 and 23. It is a material, of course. When Rebekah came to Isaac's place, what are the things were given? Just for an example for your thought. Genesis 24, 22 and 23. Let's go through. Yes.
So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?"
28:32. Okay, leave it. So what we understand, do you notice that? What is that? What was the situation? Have you related that situation? What was the gift? To whom the gift? Hello? Whom the gift is given? Rebecca. Who was given? What was the gift? Yeah. And who is she? Bride. And it was sent by the father-in-law's house. Just an example. The gift was given, just a material, even though it is a material thing. It is half shekel and how many shekel? And it is not a small thing. To a bride, the gift was given. We are bride to Jesus Christ. And it is nothing when compared with. These are all material. It will be on this earth. But the gift what Jesus gave us, the greatest, the salvation, is much more valued than that. We are all received the gift of salvation. It was assured by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Let's move on quickly about the communications. Fourthly, the communication. The first expression of love, the heart, is prayer and praise. That is by our mouth. Prayer is one of the communication with our Lord Jesus Christ and with our God. So there are scriptures that you can just go through it, take the references as well. But the Spirit helps us in our prayer. Prayer with the Spirit, that's why whenever we pray, we highlight, we encourage, we always encourage. Pray in Spirit. Pray in Spirit. Most of the people, they do not know how to pray in Spirit. So we should learn how to pray in Spirit. And what is praying in Spirit? And how to pray in Spirit? And just references, you can go through it. That assures that how we pray. And secondly, the Spirit Himself prays with you. The Spirit Himself prays with you. Prayer by the Spirit, this is possible by yielding ourselves more and more to the control of the Spirit and relaxing into His will and desire. Do not lose this blessing in more excitement. So in that case, if you are led by the Spirit, if you are learned to pray in the Spirit, there you can also sense the Spirit Himself will pray with you. The Spirit in the sense, the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? How many of you have had that experience in your life? You know by yourselves. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but know you are from your heart, and if you are praying, you praying in Spirit, and you sense the Spirit of God prays with you, that is a great blessing. That is a great blessing. Thirdly, prayer in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18. praying always, not once in a while, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. What a great encouragement for us. And even Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in Holy Spirit. Praying in Holy Spirit. Jude 1:20 says, one of the God-given means is speaking in tongues. So 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue that does not speak to men but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. 14:14 says, for if I pray in tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So it is one of the things most of the people is not aware or not exercising or experiencing, speaking in tongues, that is evident of praying in spirit. We should desire for it and we should long for it, and then the Spirit of God will fill you and make you that you are one with Him. And we should not miss that. Filling by the Spirit, it is a gift. All of us who is sitting here, is there anyone who desires no gift in your life? Hello? Is there anyone sitting here, I do not desire any gift or expect any gift? No one. Why? Gift is free. What we have, the gift by Christ, He paid a big price. But the gift, receiving the Holy Spirit, is a gift. And most of us, we may take it lightly. Or we may take it lightly in the sense, oh, it is not for me. No! All of us who are born again are filled with the Spirit of God is in you. If you say amen to that is there. And what I'm saying here is, the manifestation of the Spirit who is in you. That most of us missing. Are you agree with me? For that, you should desire. You should long for it. You should pray for it. To receive the gift from Him, that is the manifestation of the gift, you pray, God will bless you, God will provide you, God will give you. Amen? And praising and singing melody, making and thanksgiving, it is go on. And God, the Holy Spirit of God, as a fifthly, He will guide us in three areas. Day-to-day affairs, just I conclude this because of the time. Guidance in three areas in our life. Day-to-day life offers Romans 8:14. And also, secondly, the inner voice, impression, when we are fully yielded. Even in our inner life also, He speaks, He will manifest it, He will guide us. And thirdly, as we keep walking in faith, and He will correct us from, so this going on. So in that case, what even when you come out, where to go, left or right, the Spirit of God who is in you will direct you. That much possible, that is possible for your spiritual life, for your day-to-day practical life. If the Spirit of God is in you, He will direct you, He will guide you, He will teach you. He will lead you. He will counsel you. He will show you His love. The love of God can be to you. So, we pray that God the Father will help us and prepare us to confirm that we are delivered from the law, married to the bridegroom, the Christ. We are detached from the world, attached to Christ Himself. That shows that the newness of life in Christ, so that we will receive all the heavenly spiritual blessing by the Holy Spirit of God. God bless you.
Church, do you want to be part of the bride that is expecting the coming back of Jesus Christ? Are you preparing for the Holy Spirit to lead you? As the Holy Spirit prepares you, do you allow the Holy Spirit to liberate you? What do you have guarantee in? Is it the Holy Spirit? Are your actions grieve this Holy Spirit? What assurance do you have? Do you have assurance that you are part of that Holy Spirit, and be part of that children of God, that the Holy Spirit bear witness with? Are you prepared to meet the Lord Jesus Christ when He returns? Is that Holy Spirit lives in you? These are the questions you need to ask yourself as Holy Spirit prepare you. The Bible says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That's Psalm 51 verse 10. The Spirit helps, it leads. But are you ready? Children of God, let us be on our feet as I want you to pray and say, Lord, cleanse my heart and remove anything that hinders you when your Holy Spirit prepare me. Lord, cleanse my heart and remove anything that hinder your presence in my heart, that will not allow the Holy Spirit to live in me, to prepare me for your coming. Open your mouth and pray. You know those areas that the Holy Spirit is getting away from you. Talk to God. Lord, prepare me. Cleanse my heart. Remove everything. Everything that divert my attention, that will not allow your Holy Spirit to prepare me. Father, take it away in the mighty name of Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. That's what the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says. I want you to pray, Holy Spirit, ignite a fresh fire in me. When the fresh fire of God Almighty is in you, the Holy Spirit will dwell in you. The Holy Spirit will make you to dwell in the presence of the Lord. The Holy Spirit will revive you and He will prepare you for the bride to come. Heavenly Father, we want to bless your holy name for the wonderful message that we have heard this afternoon. Father, we pray that whatever that is in our heart, that we not allow the Holy Spirit to prepare us for your coming. Father, we decree this afternoon that the fire of God will remove them in our heart in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray, God Almighty, that your Spirit will dwell in us in all our doings, all our dealings, and whatever decision we are making, your Holy Spirit will guide us so that we will get set, we will get prepared for your coming. Father, let your Holy Spirit dwell in our life in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for your servant that you have used for us this day. More anointing in Jesus' name. The depth of wisdom and knowledge you have granted him shall never dry up in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, bless him. Bless the call you have called him. Bless the work of his hand. Bless his ministry. Bless him, bless sister, and bless everyone that connected to him, including the congregation. Father, bless your son so that we can receive more from him in the mighty name of Jesus. We want to bless you and thank you for today's service, that your name shall continually be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. As we depart here, your presence shall lead us in Jesus' name. We pray for the rest of our program for this year, the outreach and the carol service and all the program, most especially those that is coming this today and tomorrow, the excellent men, night vigil, and that of the women ministry tomorrow. Let your name be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray every brother that will be coming this evening, fill them with your Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. And as many that will be leading on this night, Father, let your Holy Spirit fill their heart in Jesus' name. We bless your holy name, we glorify you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Just a quick one before we share the grace. For the carol service, if you belong to this group, your group is already registered, so that you don't come. We have the eight already. The Tamil voice, the Sion voice, the voices of Kenya, Malayalam, Niger team, Telugu, Canada from Kanakata. Pardon me, please. Then we have Voice of Africa and the Young Star. Those are the eight groups that have registered. Please align with them. You can come to me. I will tell you who are their leaders so that you can align. We have eight groups already. Let's joyfully share the grace together in fellowship. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, and do have a wonderful week ahead.